nerds, and welcome to Technomancers, the D&D actual play podcast, who bonus action rages if anybody touches their figurines. I'm nature's energy drink, Ivan Brett.
How long have you been thinking that one up for?
Well, do you know, Richard, it's been more than a week. Because of the delayed record of the
Low blow.
I am, as I've previously said, nature's energy drink, Ivan Brett, coming to you from the London offices of Elastocloud, and I'm joined by four of my friends and colleagues, who will introduce themselves and introduce themselves in order of how many different types of fruit they have in their house, starting with the most.
Do fruit juices count?
The clue's in the question. Different types of fruit, Rob. Is it you?
Well, yeah, I was clarifying whether it's like an actual fruit or whether the state of the fruit changes.
I can't believe you're asking me to be more clear. Different types of fruit.
It's not me.
Okay.
I think it might be me.
Oh, well, no, you can't do that, Lucy. No, that's cheating. Oh, Lucy's here, by the way. Right, starting with the most.
Just got to pile in random. I think it's me. I reckon I'm doing the math in my head. I think I've got five. I am Misha, and I will be playing Light Through Rain.
Okay, that's first. Who's next? Big drop from five. We're in the twos. We're in the twos
this
here.
This is like the world, this maybe. Is like the mind.
Yeah, this is crazy. This is mad. I can't believe it's got so tense.
I'll go next with three, and that's only because I've got some apples, but then I've also got some apple and mango juice. So I'm counting that as three.
apple, mango.
Well, the apples are in different states. That's why I was clarifying.
Different types of fruit. What's so hard about that?
It's a type, not a state.
Also, I hate to ask you, but what's your name?
My name's Rob, and I'm going to be playing Linus of Menardis.
Excellent job. Who's next?
We got so caught up on the fruit there that we had no idea who you are. I'm going to go next, because I've got two pieces of fruit in my house. Bananas and blueberries, if anyone was interested. My name is Lucy, and I'll be playing Sark. Oh, mysterious. No one knows who that is yet. But I'll be playing Sark.
Oh, okay. So that's me being last. I was going to say zero because we have no fruit in the house ever. But I do remember that some random fruit tree seeds landed by the septic tank. And Rob, you took a photo of them. They've got some weird Japanese name. Do you remember they started growing near the septic tank?
Yuzu.
That sounds familiar. So I think we've got
yuzu by the septic.
We've got one fruit, probably.
You've got yuzu by the septic tank.
Delicious.
Yeah, you can get a cream for that.
I was going to say that's. I'm pretty sure I saw them on tour the other year.
They're playing at Glastonbury this year for sure. Yeah. If we want to talk about different types of fruit all podcasts, I'm fine with that. But if not, you may have noticed that we have a new member of the podcast joining us today. We have Lucy, another of our friends at Elastocloud, who is coming to take part in this silliness. So welcome, Lucy. How are you doing?
Thank you so much. I'm really well, thank you. I'm excited. I'm scared. All of the feelings you have at the start of a new campaign. Well, joining in the middle of an existing campaign.
The thing you need to know about this campaign is that the rest of the players are actively trying to derail the story at every point. You can't possibly be less helpful than Richard, and therefore it's fine. Like, you could just stay silent and I'd still be thankful for your presence right now.
Just for moral support more than anything.
Occasional, you're doing great, Ivan.
I mean, we're 10 episodes in and we've walked down a road.
But didn't you walk down a road? I mean,
boy, how did we walk down that?
We also did temporarily slip into a different plane of existence by taking too many drugs
on that road.
On that one road.
at the end of the road, you had a pit fire. Let's talk about it. Okay, so on the search for answers and direction, the direction was kind of east in the ever-growing conflict between the Bluefins and the city of Everlight. Cloud Balls, that's you, have come to the Brackish Pit. A pit fighting inn in Knott to chat to some Redfins about the whole situation, I guess. They've won a battle and caught the interest of two bookmakers, the Sharks, who want to introduce you to their boss. And that's where we are now. So, light through rain, Dickie, and oh my god, it's been that long.
Linus of Menardis. Were you not listening to the intro?
Well, you didn't say it. You just said you were Rob. You didn't mention
Linus.
No, I didn't.
I said I'm playing Linus of Menardis. Check the recording.
Play it back, Misha. Play it back.
I'm going to insert it in when I edit it.
All right, and then you can delete as appropriate. See? Or okay, I guess you're right.
Mm-hmm. My name's Rob, and I'm going to be playing Linus of Menardis.
Anyway, as I was saying before I got interrupted by that rude interruption, I'd never be so rude. Linus of Menardis, Dickie, and also Light Through Rain have just won a pit fight. They are standing in the centre of this sandy pit, I guess. It's a pit, isn't it? It's a pit. That's where you do pit fights generally. And the crowd is fairly impressed. Some of them are quite shocked that you've just beaten the locals and taken your winnings and generally sort of done quite well. And you're standing with the two sharks, Flattooth and... Again, it's Silverfish. It's Silverfish. It's so unprofessional of me not to know the names of my NPCs who I introduced, God, about 6 weeks ago. It's been a while, guys. Flattooth and Silverfish are standing there and they're looking quite impressed. And Flattooth... Yeah, he's taken you by the hand and he says, sir, I'm going to take you to my boss. I'm going to take you up there now if you want to go. My boss doesn't like to be kept waiting. Not that he knows you're coming, but he wouldn't like to be thinking he's been kept waiting. You know what I mean?
Well, we should go now then. Otherwise, that would be rude of us.
That's right. That'd be rude, little cat.
Is there no prize for winning?
I gave you a bit of gold because you bet on yourself. I don't know what you... We don't run these fights. We're the bookmakers. I guess you could talk to the boss if you want to... Not my boss. The boss of the place here. He's called Grog.
Grog.
I think we should do that, but afterwards.
Linus is also kind of going to be visibly holding a gore wound that he has on his side. And is just kind of going to be like, do you have anything to fix this, and sort of like move his hand out of the way and a load of blood will fall out?
he hands you a small hip flask of whiskey.
I guess that might help.
I drink it.
Does it help?
Does it?
I mean, the bleeding doesn't stop, but I guess the pain is
yeah,
deadened slightly.
Linus feels a little bit better. He gives a little burp and some fire breath comes out.
When you burp, does a little bit of blood come out as well?
Yeah, like it bubbles out of the wind.
Hey, that's pretty impressive.
Silverfish is walking beside you, little rat folk, kind of just avoiding the spurts of blood, but walking to the side as well.
We're going to go and see the boss!
And they walk up the steps and towards the exit of the pub. We see, however, somebody watching this scene. Sark, would you like to... introduce what we, the lingering camera who settles on you when everyone else leaves, what do we see?
The lingering camera would see a very sharply dressed redfin woman in business attire, but you know, make it fantasy business wear, very professional looking, very sleek, very well kempt for you know there's a red fin, so allow for scales and the like. But kind of peering over a clipboard curiously, and looking very interested in where the party's going, and starting to kind of power walk with very sensible executive high heel shoes through the crowd to try and get to everybody.
Okay, yeah. You'll have no trouble catching them up. So, when you do, what would you like to do?
She will say, hey, excuse me, sorry. Please, let me introduce myself. Sorry, my name's Sark. And I saw what you did. I saw what you did over there. Have you lot got representation in the fighting game or anything?
Not yet. But I imagine that's the sort of thing that might be good.
I'm going to open my satchel. I'll cast Mage Hand and then ask the Mage Hand to find the document that says what representation we do have. And I'll let it see what it does.
Okay, I mean, you've got a contract that you signed about working for the Lamplighters. Would you like to pull that out?
No, not that one.
Okay.
Not that one. The Mage Hand goes to pull it out, and I'll be like, no. Even though it's still Linus controlling the Mage Hand.
You slap it down.
Like, no, not that one.
The Mage Hand apologizes using the hand signal for an apology, which, of course, is...
It's that one.
There it is. Yeah, that one. It's this one. The one that I'm doing right now. Yeah. And instead it pulls out just like a circle between its forefinger and its thumb. And you look at it and it slaps you in the face.
I'll turn to Zark and say, no representation.
I'm not in no trouble. To be honest, that's what I was hoping you'd say. I mean, so what is this outfit? You're a fighting crew, you know, you stick together, you lot wrestlers. What's the deal with you lot hanging out together?
I think that Lothrian probably would turn to Dickie to explain, because that's usually what he does.
Absolutely.
Dickie's mind is all over the place at the moment, and all I can think about is the whiskey flask that Linus had. So I'm going to make a beeline for Linus, who I'm assuming has still got the whiskey flask. He better have, because...
I've still got the flask. It's mostly empty.
Okay, so Dickie about now is bleeding. I think I'm mostly dead.
You've got one hit point left.
Fine.
One hit point left. Right, so I'm just going to grab the flask off of Linus, and I'm just going to bathe all of my facial wounds in whiskey.
Give me a constitution saving throw, please. I didn't make you do this for your swig of whiskey, Rob, because it did go down the right way. But I feel like the whiskey just slapped on the face as a sort of cologne. Might...
Wow.
Oh my god!
Crikey.
Ooh-hoo.
What did you get?
22.
More importantly, it's a crit, right?
Yeah.
Nat 20. Lovely.
It is.
Fantastic.
Entirely
healed. Before that, Richard, you nodded. It's a podcast, and you nodded. I know that we were doing the whole hand signal bit earlier, but you... a nod doesn't do very much on a podcast.
Oh, everybody's getting the vibe. Everybody's... It's almost psychic the way I do
it. It's like a police recording for the podcast.
Okay,
Richard is now nodding.
God, Richard, put that back on. All right. Yes, so what we see is Sark try to initiate a conversation. The group defer the response to the conversation to their manager, who turns away without saying a word to this new woman, businesswoman, missing the idea of the business opportunity that he's spent the entire 10 episodes looking for, grabs a hip flask, empties whiskey into his hands, slaps it on his face, and then just kind of like, just lets out this kind of power stance. And I assume turns back to this new visitor with a kind of non-verbal show of confidence and newfound masculinity. May I say newfound masculinity? Is that all
only
right?
When I'm standing on a stool.
There is a stool. Would you like to stand on
the
stool?
Yeah, go for it.
Does Dickie's hat straighten slightly with the whiskey application?
Oh, my God. Dickie, does your hat straighten?
Oh, yes, I could do the hat straighten.
Just no, it's
it just pops up. It's amazing. Sark.
Sark is literally dumbfounded by this scene, obviously. And it's like, you're in charge then, I guess?
Hello, Sark. So, crew, should we have a board meeting? Should we have an EGM? We'll see whether we want Sark in our motley crew. What do you think? I vote.
Whoa.
I vote yes. Lydus. Lights for Wayne.
I mean, I...
Yes.
I also vote yes.
Welcome, Sark. Welcome. We'll get you in. We've got some robes, and we've got with our logo on them, and we've got some special shoes that Lydus has made out of steel.
No, steel hasn't been invented yet, has it?
Yeah, I think so. But the mage hand will like rummage through Linus's satchel and just pull out a contract and like immediately turn it round in front of Sark to sign.
You can see that it is very much not a contract for what you just asked if they wanted. Like, this is an offer of employment as a junior technician.
I think honestly, Sark is going to be like kind of affronted by what's just happened, but honestly is the sort of person to never turn down what, you know, is seemingly getting close to getting close to someone, rubbing up against what she sees as an established business. So I think probably attached to her clipboard there is a pen, and she'll get it out to show that she's willing, very willing to sign. Like, I'm incredibly flattered. Could anyone explain what exactly I'm signing a contract for?
Yes. We'll deal with all that later. let's toast though. You've joined the team. Welcome, Sark. Linus, get the drinks.
I'll go to the bar and grab a drink.
Well, you've just beaten up the barman, so there's no. Oh.
I'll just lead over, take a bottle. I'll lead over, take a bottle. Yeah, yep. Leave a single gold piece on the like behind the bar, so nobody hopefully steals it.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah, you get yourself a bottle of very, very fine rum. And normally this is mixed with salt water and various other things to make a kind of salt water grog, but you've just got the rum.
Nice.
Perfect.
Okay, you're back over. It looks, I think Silverfish and Flattooth, they're both kind of hovering, but like in that way when like a dog needs to go on a walk and just keeps like trying to walk away from you and looking to see that you've not come and like kind of coming back again. And eventually Flattooth just puts his great clawed hand on your shoulder, like through rain, and goes, oh, we gotta go.
Yes, I'll get them to come with. They usually do if you just sort of grab them.
Yeah, but I got claws, and sometimes when I grab people, they take it the wrong way.
Oh, no, that's what I do.
Okay, well, you do that.
Can I just sort of, I guess, get Linus and Dickie, like, one shoulder each back? I think we should celebrate whilst we go and talk to that important person that we said we'd talk to.
Oh, sorry, you guys on your way to a business meet. I understand, lots of things to do, and I get it. Let me just roll up this contract. I'll have my lawyers look over it. I'll have a read myself, and then why don't we walk and talk? I love a walk and talk.
Yeah, if you joined us, you should come as well, because if we're going to have a meeting, then we should all go.
Yeah, you can. Can you write?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you can take
good.
Notes, and then the mage hand will hand. I guess a quill, but you've already got a pen, so
it could just still
it's
be a
very,
quill.
It's a very fancy ballpoint. Yeah,
the mage hand keeps trying to offer you the quill.
Just bumping it. I'm just like, oh yeah, thank you, mate. That's lovely. Jumping straight into the deep end. I'll be happy to get started, and maybe you guys can explain what kind of fighting troop this is while we go on the walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'll just start walking.
Okay, right. And Sark is like, rolls up the contract, kind of tucks it in an inside pocket for safekeeping, and is ready to follow everybody.
Zark, I think the only insight you would have into what this company is that when you were handed a contract, it said Cloud Bulls Inc., and probably like a sort of 3-4 line... like subline beneath that, which Dickie, I think you could probably help with. What would you say is the little motto or subline beneath the logo of Cloud Bulls?
We make profit sometimes.
There you go. So that's what you know so far. And as you walk, you can see that Flattooth is urgently but excitedly taking you back towards the southern coast of the city, towards the Ashen Sands. And he says to you,
okay, well, look, this is a pretty exciting opportunity. We're not supposed to take a lot of people to go and see Beraz, but we know you're up to it. He's been looking for some muscle, looking for some you know, loyal friends, and I think you might just fit the bill.
Sark, make me a history check, please.
That was a 13.
Yeah, you know the name Beraz, for sure. Beraz is a local businessman. You've never met him. You've never worked with him. But people speak of him with the sort of fear reserved for people who have so much money that things don't apply to them anymore. His name pops up in different contexts in a sort of terrifying Donald Trumpy way. Pre-presidential, just like, oh, this guy again. Oh, this businessman again, right? And so, you know, you've learned enough to know that this is somebody who is very much got his finger in many pies around this area of town, around Knott. So I don't know what opinion that would mean that you have formed of him, but that's certainly what you know about him.
Okay, I think Zuck probably kind of, like, again, like, here's where we're going. It's just like, sorry, what kind of meeting did you say this was? I mean, am I dressed appropriately? Do I need to go get changed? Just set it out for me here.
Oh, well, no, you're going to meet at Muscle Beach. So, actually, it's kind of swimwear. They can provide it there.
Do
don't worry about
it.
We
have to swim?
You probably don't want to walk. Well, yeah, it's like a bath, you know? Beraz likes to do his meetings in an informal sense, but also in a place where there's not a lot of passers-by.
I don't like swimming.
Well, no, that's fine. I guess he could sit near enough to the end of a pool that you could sit on the side.
As long as I don't have to get wet.
You don't have to. I think he would prefer it if you did, but I'm sure he wouldn't be too hurt if you didn't.
Hey.
I'm the same as you, pal. I don't like to get wet, but sometimes you gotta do something to impress somebody. Hmm? You know what it's like. Play the game, the social game, yeah?
I don't think I've heard
of that. Don't worry. I won't be taking my clothes off either, not on the first business meet anyway. You know what I mean, guys?
Oh, I understand. You don't want to do business with Beraz. That's fine. That's okay. You know, you do what you want.
Oh, please. I didn't say that. Don't get me wrong. I'm really interested. I've never met Beraz. I've heard a lot. Always wanted to meet him. And now, yeah. And now this lot have given me that opportunity because of the meeting to discuss what?
Exactly. Well, that's what we're going to find out. My advice to you would be, fully clothed is fine, but I would climb into that pool and sit there and listen to what he has to say and maybe respond when you feel like it's time to respond. But mainly listen and nod. That's the kind of thing he really likes.
No, I really appreciate the back channel advice. Thanks, mate. That's really appreciated.
Is it a saltwater pool?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. I might need to take off my belt then. I wouldn't want ball and peen to start rusting.
Your what?
My hammers.
Oh, your hammers. Yeah. I have names for my hammers too.
What are they called?
Jethro Jingle Bells and Tunbridge Wingle Bells.
You don't sound too confident on that.
Well, you know, it's been a long time since I've thought about the names of my hammers.
Right.
Also, it's a very private thing. I'd say the names of my hammers in front of my wife and nobody else, but you asked me and I want to show you some confidence here. I want to show you that Jethro Jingle Bells and Tunbridge Wingle Bells ain't so scared anymore. They're okay to, you know, I don't mind showing my hammers.
Oh, well, can I see them? I'm just
kidding. Maybe when we get to the pool, I might be wearing some outfit that might release the hammers a little bit more than they're currently released. But I think it's not appropriate for you to ask that right now.
Right.
Linus is going to be very confused by that conversation and visibly take out his he's got those little clips on them and literally take out his two
Mean like hammers? Okay.
Yeah, my hammers.
Okay, that's great. I haven't got any hammers.
What were you... Never mind.
That's fine. It's probably best if we just draw a line on this conversation, to be honest.
Yeah, and then I'll put the hammers in the satchel.
He nods, he carries on walking, and eventually you reach a large entrance, wood, and it's painted in a sort of a dark grey with a large sign with red highlights that says Muscle Beach. And it's got a nice few illustrations of muscles, the purple mollusks type rather than just biceps. You go through a set of double doors into a bleach-smelling, marble-floored entrance hall. There is a slightly spotty sea elf behind a desk who goes, "Oh, hello," and then sees Flattooth and Silverfish and immediately goes, "Okay, sir," and points them straight through. And they take you through to a changing room. And they say,
"Oh, okay, well, we'll leave you here. Come out. When you do, you'll see... it's pretty empty tonight. We'll wave you over. Baraz is out there. He's got a couple of his guys beside him. Just behave yourselves. Don't upset him. And everything will be fine."
Is it like every sort of swimming pool changing room where the floor is mysteriously slightly damp at all times?
Oh, the floor is damp. It's a bit warm. And there's little cubicles. And you can hear the sound of a shower, but also you don't see anyone showering.
Is there a bench I can climb up onto in horror to keep my feet dry?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. The floor may as well be lava for you. You climb straight onto this little long bench. There's probably a route from there to the entrance to an outdoor area that is lit beautifully and looks like it's a kind of a variety of rock pools in a sort of volcanic rock expanse lit very nicely from below.
Ivan, I just want to switch and say that subliminal plug of your book was absolutely magical then.
Yeah, if you're bored, try playing games. It's amazing what someone can do when they're desperate for attention. You'd think, with my employer also in this corner, it's not plugging my... Anyway, the best-selling book, The Floor is Lava, can still be got in all good bookshops.
Several terrible ones.
Several terrible ones. Okay, great. So, yeah, Flattooth and Silverfish head out into the... They remove their shoes and they head out into the outdoor area. Silverfish kind of going, don't be long, as they run out. So...
I think Sark is going to, stay true to not getting changed and staying in very formal kind of business wear with high heels, kind of say, "Well, you know, if I'm making notes, I think probably I'll just stand on the side so that my paper doesn't get wet if you guys don't mind. But Dickie, could I have a word with you? You're not going to get changed here, are you?"
Me? No. No, of course not. I never disrobe of this regalia.
Oh, fact that, yeah, a man after my own heart. Fantastic news. So I just wanted to kind of pitch myself at you guys, really. The reason I came up to you in that tavern is I am... I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but I'm pretty good at branding fighting crews. I do everything. Posters, I'll write you a scroll, I'll get something up on a notice board for you. I'll shout your name at the beginning of the fight if you like. And I just wanted to know if that's the sort of services you're looking for here. You know, you guys want a new look, want to increase the bets being placed down on you as your fearsome reputation.
Well, I have a slightly different proposition for you, because because okay, so we fought and we won because that's what we do. But Cloud Balls and our Kubernetes invention, we really, really need to push and market our turnips, because nobody can transport turnips like we can. And when we meet this nice gentleman, I am going to show him our investor pitch as well. And so one thing that might be quite good is if you could jazz this up for us a little bit.
Well, you know what? This is fantastic. I mean, I've been working solo for quite a while, but I've been looking for an outfit to join where I could really, you know, move out. Yeah, it's very violent. I'm an ex-fighter myself. That's how I got into it. But it's very violent. And I think I'd jump at the start. I mean, you're going to have to, I'm not technical myself. So these Kubernetes, did you say? And also turnips, you might have to explain all of that to me. But once we get the that pitch done, I'm more than happy to get involved.
Very good, very good. As Linus and I like to raid, no turnips of the future. So you're in the right outfit.
Thank you. Yeah, it's fresh as morning. Thank you. That's thank you so much, Dickie. And I think she like takes Dickie's hand and kind of like furiously like shakes it and then runs off to kind of make notes ahead of this meeting, which I think she now thinks is kind of like deadly important to the ongoing relationship. Amazing.
As they turn round, Linus will be there almost completely disrobed. Just like, are we not all go? I guess I'm the one going in the pool then.
Yes.
What's Dragonborn underwear like?
Do Dragonborns have a concept of? Do Dragonborns have a concept of underwear?
We're discovering this together.
I think so. Well, I mean, I come from a volcano, so it's going to be very warm there. But equally, everything they make is either out of leather or metal or scales. So
what we're saying is that, if anything, Linus is wearing tiny leather pants.
Is it a leather
thong? I think so, but it's got like a... I think it would probably be more boxer short-like, because he does have a tail, so it would need to go around it.
Like a leather dance strap.
A dance strap.
With a split for the tail.
I don't know what that is, but that
I don't know what it is.
It's essentially a thong, split for the tail. More holding. Yeah.
A holding thong.
This is... It's like a very loose pair of shorts.
Delightful. Yeah. So you're in a loose pair of shorts. Light Through Rain, have you changed? Or are you pretty much
Light Through
as
Rain
well?
Fully is not intending to get anywhere near the water. And I think is standing on a bench trying to work out how to get out of the room without touching the floor.
Give me an acrobatics check to see if you can complete the round of the floor is lava.
The floor is lava.
And get to
Did you say athletics or acrobatics?
Acrobatics, please.
I've got to be honest, if pressed to get into the pool, I do fully intend to climb onto someone's head.
Right.
That's going to be a 10 for acrobatics.
Quite near the end of this impressive feat of avoiding the ground, you jump from one bench to another, slip, and land both feet on the damp floor.
It's wet. I don't like it.
Do you just stand there not liking it, or are you going to do anything?
Oh, no, I'm going to try and like lob myself back up off the floor.
So what we see...
Either through the door or just onto the nearest flat surface.
You can go back onto the bench you were on before and carry on kind of like sidling along. What we see as we watch you four emerge from the changing room is almost exactly the same as you four entering the changing room, except one of you has only a leather thong on and the other one is desperately trying not to touch the ground. If I may just address the audience for a moment. You'll notice, as a GM, what you're always trying to do is direct the players towards an overall goal. And you, the listener, may be aware, unlike the party it seems, that they're trying to save the city from certain destruction by an overwhelmingly powerful, threatening, and slightly mysterious underwater civilization, or at least sort of terrorist group known as the Spring Tide. However, in this situation, the NPCs think they're here to be offered work as kind of muscle or bodyguards, while the player characters clearly think they're here to pitch turnip transportation devices. This leaves me, your humble DM, in a difficult position where I am not able in any sense to direct the narrative towards the place where I would like it to go. Now, that's known as railroading. But also, it's sort of what I've planned for. So watch now, dear listener, as we re-enter this finely wrought web of narrative and see how I easily, masterfully, and effortlessly redirect the campaign back towards the ends that I had imagined for it.
Oh.
For the benefit of the podcast, please imagine every time he's not speaking that Ivan just keeps putting his face in his hands.
Oh, and also every time that he says watch, he means listen.
That too.
Ivan, thank you so much for reminding me of the storyline, though. I completely forgot why we were here.
We were going to go and get the trident.
Yeah,
we've got to
get the trident of the Tempest.
Yeah.
The red fins / blue fins or not, depending on whether or not we decided we trusted them.
We've opened a few storylines.
So we came to not to decide if we trusted them.
we've opened a few storylines and we haven't closed any of them. But yes, there's a few things. You've been offered membership in the Springtide by Sardina, who is the kind of mole on the inside of the Lamplighters, who said you can steal the Trident of the Tempest, bring it to Bestrigda, and you would have membership in this civilization. The other thing is that you would, I'm sure, have support from the city, and you definitely would from the Lamplighters, to try and find a way to destroy or to at least stop the Spring Tide. And they'd also like for you to get the Empress back, who was kind of the powerhouse of this factory. So you've come here for a number of reasons, but just to get more information about the Red Fins and maybe also figure out which side is the right side to join. Right.
Where were we?
So, you wander into this large, open-air, sort of coastal rock pool-type area. There are various different pools, each one looking quite deep. Some steaming, some bubbling, some very clear. And you can see a variety of patrons enjoying a quiet time. Mostly male. Mostly with a little drink in hand, often just sat by the side. Some people are walking around. There's people sort of carrying drinks around. There's a couple of people who are sort of bringing little packs of salt around, as if maybe these are therapeutics. But you can see that Flattooth and Silverfish have settled in a rock pool just ahead of you, a couple of rock pools ahead of you, but you can always walk around them, to a large pool with three red fins sat facing away from you towards the sea. At the end of Muscle Beach, you can see that these rock pools break into low waves, no more than white horses, and then the dark expanse of the bay to the south of the city. So I'm assuming you head over to speak to Peraz?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think so. I think, honestly, that Sark is kind of in full business mode and kind of rushes over, eager to impress, and kind of extends a hand down. Like, could I just say it's a pleasure to meet you. My name's Sark. I'm and I represent Cloud Balls Inc. I think.
Oh, look at this! Look what we got here. A redfin like me making her way in the world. It's a pleasure to meet you.
He stands up out of this rock pool. He is this enormous, both vertically and horizontal, red fin. He's old, and you can see from the red crest on his top of his head that it's slightly faded, slightly bent, but also scarred. He holds out this great, big, green, scaled hand and shakes yours with slightly too much force. Just gives it a squeeze. How do you respond to this?
I think... There's like an audible gulp, probably. It's like, oh, yeah. No, I mean, so good to see a fellow, you know, someone from my background here is really, really, really is a pleasure. Can I introduce you to Dickie and the rest of the crew over here?
Of course. Oh, look at this. None of your red fins, but that's all right. I'll forgive you that. Oh, Dickie, is it?
It is. Hello. Very pleased to meet you.
Yeah, you're wearing a lot of clothes. You're not going to join me in the pool here. That's how we tend to do business around these parts.
Oh, I'm not a big fan of water. I'm a, it's you know, we rock gnomes You know, we're not famed for our seaworthiness.
All right, then, you just sit on the rock. And the other two red fins laugh like he's just said something very hilarious, and he laughs too. You get rock like a rock gnome. You sit on the rock. Yeah, yeah. Looks at you, Sark, to see if you're laughing too.
That's how they do.
That's right, then. You sit on the rock, my friend. And, oh, look, a couple of friends as well. Dragonborn, how you doing, mate?
The water looks lovely. Do you mind if I... get in.
Plop in, my friend, plop in. We're going to talk business in here.
I will plop in.
Yeah, it's a beautifully warm, deep pool. There's something geothermal about this. As you go in, it encloses you in a very, very warm, slightly kind of vegetal-smelling a pool. You kind of float to one side. I assume a different side from the three red fins, but you can nuzzle in right next to his body.
No, I will sit close enough to them that it's like not uncomfortable, but like a respected distance away. It's respectful distance away.
Not a huge pool, to be honest. Yeah, all right.
It's like, and Linus will definitely spend a couple of minutes a couple of seconds just sort of with his eyes closed, just kind of reminiscing about his home, seeing as he also grew up in a volcano, which I imagine would have these types of baths in it.
That's very nice. I'll give you inspiration for finding that link there. You can use that whenever you like.
Thank you.
Also Sark is probably like kind of sweating and trying to curate the situation because I think there's already gauged that maybe these people are not taking having heard of Graz before they're not taking the situation maybe as seriously as they should, but it's just really, really pleased that Lionel is kind of doing as he says, is kind of giving a really like enthusiastic nod and a okay symbol, like that's perfect, keep doing that, and just eyeing Dickie nervously as he interacts with
Linus will also be like slightly wincing in pain at the fact that he's got an open wound on his side and is now sitting in salt water.
That's right, there is a lot of blood now filling this pool. It's not something I haven't seen before. But, sorry. No, it's all right. You're welcome here. Listen, Flattooth, Silverfish, they don't bring a lot of people to come and see me. When they do, I know I'm dealing with a real deal, so it's nice to see you. Sounds like you had a bit of a fight back there in the brackish pit.
Yeah, we did indeed, but I think we held our own.
Nice, that's what I like to hear. And who's this cat? Who's this little cat over here?
Hello, I'm Light Through Rain.
Oh, you now.
Yes.
Yeah, you look very. What you're standing on, I would say tiptoes, but it's more like tiptoe. It's amazing how you're managing to balance on one of your paws right now.
Yes. I don't go in water.
Flattooth, can you get this woman a towel, please?
And you see Flattooth kind of nods, like he's silent and almost lighter on his feet than he was when he was speaking to you earlier. He runs off and gets a towel. See him coming back with a kind of large blue towel that he lays out on the side of a rock.
Here you go, Lane. You sit down.
That's much better, thank you.
I've never understood people who don't like water, but maybe that's just me.
It's not that I don't like water, I just don't go in it. Ever.
Oh, you're not looking at the water?
Yeah.
Yeah, good, nice, good, excellent. Right, well, sounds like we got some business to do.
Yes.
Right. Shall I start? Oh, I'll start.
Zark, are you in the water now? Or are you?
I think Zark has kind of kicked off her heels and very neatly placed them by the side of the pool and is now just standing up with 2 feet in the water, kind of smiling, like trying to not disappoint Baraz, but also just really not wanting to look unkempt or become unprofessional in any way.
Yeah, you found a slightly shallower bit and you're kind of like as far from the water as you can be without, being.
Yeah, on the first step in, and I feel like it's kind of like weirdly far away from where everyone else is, just kind of like nodding and making, like holding the clipboard, like, yeah.
Red fin who doesn't get wet. Yeah, you see, I've never seen that before, but there we go. You know what? You've climbed, and sometimes when you've climbed that far, it's hard to see where you came from, isn't it?
I pick my moments when I visit me mum. I'm up to my head and beyond. At work, you know.
Yeah. Oh, we're working, so we'll keep it professional. Listen. I employ a lot of people, a lot of logistics, ins and outs, to's and fro's, comes and goes. And I'm always looking for people like you, people, strong people, capable people, intelligent people. Sometimes intelligent people, to do jobs for me, do work for me. Associates, we can call them associates. We can call them what we want to call them. I'm looking for great people. Do I have great people in front of me right now?
The best, sir.
Excellent, sir. Well, listen, there's a lot of things you could be doing for me and I pay well. All I want to know is if you're keen to work for me.
Would we have to sign a contract where we can't tell anyone what we're doing?
No. Why would you need to do that?
Because we did that already the last time someone offered us a job, and then we all got killed. But it's okay, we're fine
now. See, the thing is... Who? What? What?
Well, I can't tell you, because we signed the thing.
That is true. Yeah, because like, if we try to talk about it, this happens, and then I'll talk about it, and bubbles will come up.
That's right. A large bubble comes out of your mouth and just pops. And also, when you said the word killed, I think probably it came out a bubble just replaced the word killed as well. He looks impressed.
Goodness me.
Turns to one of his associates and goes,
look into that, would you? No, we don't do contracts, because you see, the thing about people who work with me is they know exactly what's expected of them. Which is that you don't say nothing, because you know what happens if you do say anything, right? You understand where I'm coming from about this. This is a brotherhood, a sisterhood as well, of course. And if you work with me, you ain't gonna say nothing to no one.
So you do say something to someone?
Nah, I said you don't say nothing to no one.
But that's a double negative. So that...
What, it's a what?
When you say...
It's a what now?
If you say nothing...
Yeah.
To no one.
Yeah.
Then that means you say something to someone.
Nah, I don't mean you say nothing to no one.
I feel like Zark is definitely gonna like cut in as she sees this kind of escalating slightly away. Oh yeah, no, it's a misunderstanding. We will not be telling anyone about anything that ever happens here, don't you worry, isn't that right? Like through
Rain. Is that what you mean? And we understand now.
Yeah, it's what I said. That's what I said, thank you. Yes, Sark, that's what I said. Must be a language thing.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure, isn't it? These meetings, all this gibber-gabber, this lingo, we'll get it all together before we sign anything off. All right, go ahead.
Great. Well, let me give you a little offer. I got a boat, and the boat is leaving for Lydios in the morning. And I want some people to take that boat and make sure that nothing from the boat gets into the wrong hands. All it would be was you keeping all your armour, keeping your clothes on this time.
He points at you and laughs, Linus.
And just keeping all my stuff safe. Getting to Lydios, having a good time. Lydios is lovely. Mavingar this time of year. Oh, beautiful. And then coming back.
And if we do that, that's fine. And then you would pay us and then we would come home again.
Yeah, you come home and you do something else for me. I've always got work, I've always got import, export, all that kind of thing.
I feel like Sark kind of leans over to Dickie and says, what? Wasn't this meant to be about turnips?
Oh, yes. Let's get the investor pitch ready. Let's get the projector out.
Where does he keep it?
I don't have any of my stuff, it's all in the changing room.
Go get it!
Listen, don't worry. While we were changing, I told you, my pass is in poster making. Anything you say, I can translate that into beautiful, beautiful visuals in less than 2 seconds. My pen's fantastic. Go ahead, Diggy.
Okay, so... My good sir, picture this. Imagine that Linus and Lythurain are turnips, and they need to get to the nearest town. And all of a sudden, thousands of their friends come along. And before we know it, we have 1,000 turnips. The question is, how do you get them to town? Now, the farmer could take them one at a time, but Kubernetes will be able to carry most of them some of the time.
I feel like Zark started like on a piece of paper, like was really keenly listening to kind of start drawing this out, and as it kind of went more the way that she's able to visualise this in a single drawing is kind of her pen slowing and her eyes are narrowing, like I'm not entirely sure what's going on here, so it's just kind of scribbling very, very quietly and slowly.
Despite this, he does look interested. Baraz is watching you very carefully and says, "Now, I heard you say something about terms, but you also mentioned you could potentially transport people without them being noticed or seen."
"Yes, we've even got some turnip costume."
So let's say, you know, and this is a pure flight fantasy. Don't think for any second this is real, but just let's say that I have a large number of people who would need to be transported from out of this city into this city without being seen. You telling me you could do that for me?
Yes, Kubernetes is your machine.
You see, now we can do business. I didn't realise you were brains. I just thought you were brawn. And that's why I was surprised when I saw you, young man.
We're magical brain. Even better than normal brains.
I need to get, let's say, 1,200 turnips into the city all at once. And then release those 1,200 turnips into an area of the city all at the same time. To cause untold damage and profit.
Yes, we'll give you a price for it. Linus, how many Kubernetes will we need? How many containers?
He'll do some quick maths in his head and then just go, 19?
Depends how big they are, the turnips that you want to release.
They're about the size of a normal purse.
The size of Zark, maybe.
Yeah, about the size of Zark.
Swords and spears and...
Yeah, maybe a couple of swords and spears as well. And some armor. Yeah, probably a bit of trials, yeah.
Zark is drawing a large spear and a shield and kind of with arrows pointing to...
Can I use my... telepathic skills to say to Dickie and to Linus and go, "I think they might be in the spring tide."
Oh. And that's where we'll leave the session.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Well, that's what we got. We're here, we're having a chat, and suddenly it's turned very serious. We're talking about Kubernetes, but clearly this is a lot more than that. My friends, thank you for that wonderful session. Thank you for somehow managing to steer it back towards the campaign. And thank you at home for listening. We will see you next time for more of this nonsense. Thank you and goodbye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Technomancers, a D&D podcast. You can subscribe to hear the next episode when it comes out. And until then, see you later, nerds.
Roll up your sleeves for audible clapping.
Nicicles, let's go. Okay.
Do a recording and play some D&D.